On the church calendar, it's Reformation Sunday. And Reformation Sunday in 1517, on October 31st, in 1517, a guy by the name of Martin Luther took a nail and a hammer and nailed up 95 theses or questions, propositions to reform the church. He was a Catholic priest, and the Catholic Church was the church of the day. He didn't want to start a new church. He wanted to reform the church. And it ended up that the Protestant church, and it comes from protestare, they stood for something. Protestare means to stand for something. You are part of a Protestant church. So that means that you stand for something, not stand against something. And in the Reformation, they had five solas. And Luther said in one of the 95 theses that he declared that the church's true treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church's true treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He nailed that on the door of the Wittenberg Castle and wanted to discuss it. But the five solas of the Reformation, the five things that they stood for, sola is Latin for alone. And so they stood for these five things, and if you think about it, many of them gave their lives for these five statements. In fact, Luther wanted the Bible printed in the German language so the people could understand it, so the people could read it. And that was not a topic of debate. So the five solas, sola scriptura, scripture alone. The Bible alone is our highest authority. Sola fidea, faith alone. We are saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Sola gratia, grace alone. We are saved by the grace of God alone. Solus Christus, Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone is our Lord and Savior and King. And soli Dei gloria, the glory of God alone. We live for the glory of God alone. So the Reformation came about in 1517 on October 31st. Hallows Eve, and really the beginning of the Protestant church started with these five solas. They said, scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. So they claimed that this was the foundation of scripture. It's interesting, I love to read, so I brought these for you, but you won't read them, but like here's Barna Group is a church organization, and this is the study of the Bible in 2019, Trends of Engagement. And basically what Barna says in America, that Bible reading has dropped another 4%. 48% of the people in America don't even read their Bible. And another 20% may read it once or twice a year. And yet these people gave their life so that people could read their Bible in their own language. It's interesting. Pew Research did a study on Christianity in America. And I don't think you can read the headline, but Christianity in America is declining. In 2009, they did their research, and now in 2019, in 10 years, 77% of America said they were Christian in 2009. 65% say they're Christians in America today. Maybe America needs a reformation today. And you are in the bottom 10% of the population because you attend church. And you're here today. So I think Reformation Sunday is an interesting thing. We've been doing a series called Follow Me. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. So I have these Follow Me questions that should come up on the next slide. Where is Jesus asking you to follow? Where is Jesus asking you to deny yourself and pick up your cross? That was one of the passages we read a couple weeks ago. Where is Jesus asking you to follow in your family, in your work, in your relationships, your health, and your finances? What is Jesus asking you to you as you follow him in your positions or your power, your passions, and your possessions? And where is Jesus asking you to follow him today and totally trust him? I shared briefly last week in 1986. I'd become a Christian in 1981, so I was 5 years, you know, kind of really a baby Christian. And my pastor said, I want to take you to Indiana, to Epworth Forest, and go on this weekend called Curcio. And on that weekend, they sang this song, and it's by John Michael Talbot, Here I Am, Lord. And I'll read the opening. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I've heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I have made the stars of night. I'll make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord, is the chorus. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I can remember sitting in that chapel, singing that song, and I raised my hand. And I said, here I am. I'll go. I'll follow. Little did I know what God was going to ask me to do. I wasn't even thinking about being a pastor. I'll go. And last week we talked about let the little children come to me, and we're going to pick up on Mark 10, 17 through 31. It's one of the follow me passages, and many scholars say that it's probably one of the saddest passages in the Bible. Let's go to God's word. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, and he fell on his knees before him, and he said, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Don't miss that verse. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and says to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And Peter said to him, well, we've left everything to follow you. And I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields with them, persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Just a side note, when we do our prayers up here, I'll tell you what we do. When the worship team comes up to practice, whoever the last one is up here has to pray, because we say, well, the last will be the first to pray. So when you see us up here praying and they're all trying to run up here, they're saying, I don't want to be last. The first will be last. Many scholars say that this is the saddest passage in all of Scripture. This is the saddest passage in all of Scripture. And it comes after he says, let the little children come to me. I can remember when our grandchildren, you know, Javon's children and Jody's children and Jenny's children and Brian's children, when they were born, I would get them and put them on my lap, and I'd say, Papa loves you. Papa loves you. And Jack, she would get all upset, and she said, don't be trying to brainwash him. But it was so powerful to have the little children sit on my lap and say, Papa loves you. Papa loves you. What I wanted them to know was that I love them unconditionally. I love them just for who they were. But she said I was trying to brainwash them and get them to love me more. But I think that's what Jesus was doing when he said, let the little children come to me. And then he says, these children come to him and they stop him. And then he gets on his way and he sees this man coming and falling on his knees. Really, it says he falls on his feet. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Can you picture the scene? Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and this man, this young man, falls at Jesus' feet, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Great question. And he says to him, he says, good teacher. And Jesus responds with a powerful statement. He says, why do you call me good? Because in our culture, in the Jewish culture of that day, the only person that was called good was God. Now, when I was pastoring in Texas, I will confess this, I was accused of hypnotizing people to follow Jesus Christ. And someone back here said, Pastor, you're good, but you're not that good. I won't name the person over here, but that's what Jesus is saying. Why do you call me good? No one's good but God. But the question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Albert Schweitzer, if you've read any of his stuff, he would, and he does, he lands on the list of the most foolish person in the world and also one of the wisest and bravest persons in all the world. He was a famous world musician. He was a chief academic officer in Europe. He had produced books and papers. He was regarded as an elegant preacher with many gifts for the church. He was a medical doctor and a scholar. And after graduating from medical school, do you know what he did? He packed up everything and moved to the Congo of Africa to serve the poorest of the poor. Now, this is a brilliant scholar, a musician, a teacher, a preacher, a brilliant man. And people called him one of the wisest men in all the world at that time. And he packed up everything and moved to the Congo. He started his ministry in a hen house, a chicken house. You have chickens. Can you see having a ministry in a chicken house? And Schweitzer was the example of counting the cost. And his whole goal was to serve Christ and serve Christ absolutely. I find it interesting that the rich young ruler calls Jesus good. The rich young man says, Jesus says, well, you got to keep the commandments. So I brought the commandments. There's five over here and five over here. And he says, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet, and over here, honor your father and mother, the bottom six. Jesus says all those. He says, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't, you know, bear false wet testimony, don't, you know, steal, don't covet, and honor your father and mother. And the young man says, I've kept all those. I've kept them from my youth. But do we know what the first four are? You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. See, the man had kept the six commandments that deal with other people pretty well and thought, if I do that, I can inherit eternal life. And then it says that Jesus looked at him with love. What a powerful statement. Think of the love that Jesus would look at you with. And he says, well, you lack one thing. You've kept all those six. You've got these down pretty pat. The bottom six, you got them. He says, but you lack one thing. Can you go to the next slide? So what is the one thing? He says, you lack one thing. So maybe sometimes we should ask, what is the one thing we lack? I know you're saying, Pastor, you're starting to step on our toes. But what is the one thing we lack? He says to him, well, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And then the next passage says that the young man was saddened, looked sad. And actually in the Greek word that Mark uses, it was like a storm cloud had come up. You know how sometimes the storm clouds come and cover the sun? The man's face saddened, and he walked away. And he walked away. Missionary and poet, if you read Amy Carmichael in one of her books, the book is titled Things As They Are, she shares about meeting a Hindu queen in her book. It's a wonderful book. And she shares about meeting this Hindu queen. And the Hindu queen knows that Amy Carmichael is a Christian. And so she starts talking to Amy Carmichael about God and religious things. And Amy's kind of backing away because, now listen, she's a queen. And she wants to know about God and Christ. And Amy keeps backing away, not wanting to tell her. And finally, she tells her all about it and what it would cost to follow her. And this is what Amy Carmichael, but she was determined to hear it. And so she insisted. And I read her a little of what Jesus says about himself. And she knew quite enough to understand and take it the forceful words. She would not consent to be led gently on. She said, this is what the queen said. No, I must know it now, she said. And as verse by verse I read to her, her face settled sorrowfully. This is what the queen said. So far must I follow? So far must I follow? I cannot follow afar. So far must I follow? I cannot follow far. I'm sure that the rich young man probably, we don't know what he said. Mark doesn't record what he said and said that he looked sad and he walked away. Walked away from eternal life. Jesus tells his followers how hard it is for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, he uses this, and this proverb is still used in the Arab countries today. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Now, you guys have been to Israel. I haven't had the opportunity, but a good friend of mine who's been there, and you may have seen this, he said, in the walls of the Jerusalem, there's doors that close at night, and there's this small little opening in the door that a man could get through in case they were locked out, but it's not big enough for a camel. So what Jesus is saying is, you can get through the door, but maybe you can't take all these things with you. That's tough. Jesus is not talking about, and I'll put up this slide here. Jesus is not talking money or wealth is a problem. Don't get this wrong. Because we live in one of the wealthiest countries in the nations in the world. We're all considered very, very wealthy. Every one of us. But he's not talking against being wealthy or having money. Really, what Jesus is pushing the envelope on is, what do you depend on? What do you put your trust in? And that was the problem for the rich young man. He says, you're lacking one thing. You've done all these bottom six, but your trust is to have no other thing before me. So what do you put your trust in, is what he's trying to say. What do you put your trust in? So what? On December 17, 1912, Bill Borden boarded a ship for China, by the way of Egypt. His missionary career would be among the briefest, but it was the most effective missionary career. Bill Borden was born in the upper class family in Chicago's Gold Coast. He was the heir of the fortune of the real estate and milk production, Borden Milk. 1912. His mother became a Christian, and she took him to a little church called Moody Church in Chicago. And as a little boy, R.A. Torrey was preaching, and he talked about giving your life to Christ. And young Bill Borden stood up in his little sailor outfit, and he said, here I am. I'll follow. And he went to Yale. And while he was at Yale, he decided to become a missionary to the Islamic people in China. And he gave away his fortune, $50 million, to follow Jesus. And he boarded a ship for Egypt to learn the Islamic language, Arabic language. And it was there he contracted spinal meningitis and died in 2 weeks. But he wrote in his Bible these three statements. I don't know if I have them up there. I may. Might be up on the next slide. He wrote in his Bible, and this was found in his Bible in Egypt, no reserve, no retreat, no regrets. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. So you have this Hindu queen that says, so far must I follow? I cannot follow. But Bill Borden gave his life, and he said, no reserves, no retreat, no regrets. Albert Schweitzer, when he wrote in his Bible, he said, I want to do something for God. You have two people who followed, one who didn't. Here we have one who didn't follow. I wonder where God is calling us, calling me. Maybe you don't wrestle with these questions, but I think God wants to speak to you. I know in 1992, after I raised my hand in 1986, I was wrestling about going to seminary. And I said, God, I mean, you really don't want me to go to seminary. I got a nice job. I got two company cars, and my two of my children are in high school, and one's in junior high, and this would be really hard. And he says, well, I want you to follow. You said you'd follow. So I went and talked with my wife, and we signed a blank piece of paper, and we said, we will go wherever you call us. And I signed the bottom, and she signed the bottom, and we signed it in Christ's love and service, Dave and Jack Peters. And I said, well, God, if you really want me to go to seminary, some seminary will call me up and offer me a full scholarship. And 2 years later, the dean of Dubuque Theological Seminary said, we're gonna give you a full scholarship if you'll come to seminary. When we say God will follow, God's going to call you. And he'll call you out to follow. And my prayer that there'll be no reserves, there'll be no retreat, and there'll be no regrets. My prayer is that you will do something great for God. Our nation needs a reformation. And it starts in your home. It starts really in your heart. And then in your home and in your workplace and in your school or wherever you go. So what about you? Let's go to the next slide. Or is that the last slide? That's the last, okay. Where is God asking you to follow? My prayer is that we won't be like the rich young man. We won't lack the one thing. What are you going to put your trust in? What are you going to depend on? I know if you put your trust in God, he'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. There won't be any regrets. These are tough passages. Follow me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we hear those words, follow me, and they're two little simple words, yet so difficult. Lord, let us not lack the one thing. Let us not lack the one thing. Let us depend on you. Let us trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I never expected to be in California helping plant a new church.